if we are not clear about who God is, we'll start to get things mixed up. We'll start to misappropriate who God is and what's coming our way from God if we don't know and understand who he is. Let me tell you something. The enemy is constantly trying to get you to buy the lie that God is sending evil your way. He wants you to think that. He wants you to think that God created death, God created mayhem, God created destruction, disease, and all of these things. That's what he wants you to believe. That's what he wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that God is this big, great, cruel being in the sky saying, I wonder if they can handle that. Here, take that. Oh, he made it through that. Well, let me give him this one. I'll really get him on that one. That's not our God. That is not our God. But yet people get it so confused all the time. And I've heard this statement, these two statements, quite a bit from people. One being, God created everything. No, God did not create everything. The other day I was sitting in my office with a lady. It's been saved for many years. And she couldn't believe I said that. I said, God didn't create everything. He didn't create everything. Daniel Kalenda said it best, so I don't have to reiterate. I always say, listen, if someone says it better than you, just use what they said, give them the credit. Daniel Kalenda said it really good. He goes, this young man approached him after a big class that he did. He said, man, I can destroy your whole religion in one statement. Daniel Kalenda is a 17-year-old kid. He's like, oh, I'm intrigued. He said, centuries, doctors and all these people have been trying to destroy, you know, Christianity, but this 17-year-old kid can destroy it in one sentence. He said, so I'm listening to him. He goes, how can you say that you guys serve a good God, but yet he created everything and he created evil and all this other stuff? He said, God didn't create everything. See, and what he did was he painted a picture of what God didn't create. God didn't create love. God is love. He is love. God didn't create joy. God is joy. He don't have to create something that his very being is. He didn't have to create it. It's there. So the idea, the thought is, if he didn't create that, there's other things that God didn't create. Evil being one of them. Death being another. God didn't create these things. Another thing I hear people tell me all the time, well, God knows the future. True. Is he omniscient? You better believe it. He is all-knowing. Well, then if God knows the future, then it was in God's plan that I go through what I'm going through. Wrong. Wrong. Just because God knows something's going to happen is a whole lot different than God planning for that thing to happen. Do you hear what I said? God knowing it versus God planning it is two different things. Two different things. Let me explain. Give you some illustrations. God has never planned for a child to be molested. Never. Never. If you tell me so, you're wrong. You're wrong. God never has planned that. Never has planned that children die at a young age. Never. Never planned that. That's not in God's plan. God never planned for Nick Balzano, Pastor Jim's son, to end up dead in a river down the street. Never planned that. That was not in God's plan. God had good plans for that boy. Plans to prosper him, to give him a future and a hope. It's a fact. These are not God's plans, but you know what the good thing is about God? How powerful my God is. That even though he didn't plan this bad or this hurt, he will bring a divine purpose from it every single time. Amen. That's the God we serve. But God never planned that. He never planned for Pastor Jim to have to walk through such a horrific tragedy in his life. This is a man of God. Favor of God's on his life. He does so many awesome things for the kingdom of God. You see it all over him. You're with him for 5 minutes. You understand it. God never intended or planned for him to go through that. God never intended and planned on me being a heroin addict. Never intended that for me. Never. Never intended on me being in and out of jail and having to see things that no human being in their life should ever have to see or experience. He never intended that for me. He had good plans for me. good plans. Let me tell you something. If you're going through something in your life, a disease, hurt, these things, God never planned that. That was not in God's plan, but God will bring a divine purpose from it. I will promise you that. I'll promise you that. But the enemy constantly wants us to think these things, that God has sent evil our way, and it's just not true. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So even though God didn't plan these things and God didn't throw these things at us, guess what? We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be intimidated. We don't have to fear them at all. Why? Because the Lord our God goes before us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So not only did he not plan it or any of that, right? But he won't leave us while we're walking through all that hurt, all that misery. He will not leave us. God never intends, never creates evil in our life. It's just not the God we serve. God is always good. He's always good. All the time. Amen. He never created death. He's the author of life. He's the author of life. He never created death. God never created disease. He's Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. He never created people to be defeated. He's Jehovah Nissi, God our banner who reigns over us in victory. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? We've got to understand the God we serve, the goodness of who we serve and who he is. But we'll start getting confused and we'll start to misappropriate things and put them on God when it wasn't God in the first place. That's what starts to happen. Mark chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. Look what Jesus says here. He says, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. Let me tell you something. If God created death, he would be divided. If God created disease, God would be divided. And if a kingdom divided against itself, it cannot stand. So if God created these things, he wouldn't be able to stand because he would be going against the very essence of who he is, which is good, which is life, which is love, which is all these other things, which we will continue to talk about throughout this series over the next several weeks. But I'm just trying to lay a foundation for you today of who God really is. And we're going to go clear back to Genesis, and I'm going to prove that God never created death. I'm going to prove it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 28 says this, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. It says that God blessed them. He didn't curse them. He didn't curse them. He blessed them. It says, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Jesus, God, breathed life, formed them out of dust, breathed life into them, gave them life. See, he intended, his plan, God's plan, was for Adam and Eve to live forever in perfect harmony in the Garden of Eden. Never to die, never to experience disease, never to experience the hurts and the pains that this life brings. He never planned that. That was not in his plan. How do I know that? Because he put the tree of life in the garden. And after they had messed up, which we'll talk about in a moment, he had to actually kick them out of the garden, then put a cherubim with a flaming sword in front of the tree of life so that they couldn't eat from it and live forever. See, in chapter 3, it goes on over in chapter 3 here, and you'll see that Adam and Eve, they disobey God. This is when it all goes south. When disobedience came in and sin came into the world, this is when the disease, the sickness, the hurt, the evil come in this world. Not because God created it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed. Because you have sinned, you are cursed. Because of the sin and the disobedience that came from you, now the cursing has come. Not because I created it. Verse 16, to the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. 17 and 19. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. Husbands, look at your wife and say, thanks a lot. And now wives, look at your husband and say, thanks for covering me. Thanks for having my back, because you didn't. So it's even. It's equal. Don't worry. It goes both ways. It's more in the men than it is the women. Believe that. Amen. Man, Jeff. Sorry. Hallelujah. All right. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. See, he had commanded them, don't eat of this. Don't eat of it. He says, cursed is because of you. Cursed because of you, because of what you have done. Listen, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of times the crap happening in our life ain't from God or the enemy. It's from you. It's from me. It's because of the things I have done in my life. I reap what I sow. It's just the nature of life. So I'll be going through things, and here I am, you know, crying on my knees and all this stuff. And God's like, you're the one that did it. What's wrong with you? But yet, man, we'll have financial trouble. We'll have all these troubles coming down our way. We'll start crying out to God, which is a good thing. But don't put that on God that you're going through a financial trouble. Put that on yourself. You've made some bad judgment calls. We've all done it. We've all done it. Every one of us. And we've had to walk through it and get out of it. That's what happens. But let's not put that on God. He says, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. Man, sin even affected the ground. The crops of the earth sin affected. Before that, there was no thorns, no thistles, none of this other stuff, no weeds. Until sin came. He says, you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to the dust you shall return. Why? Because of sin. Not because God created them to die. That's not what God does. God doesn't create for things to die. He creates them for them to live. But thank God be to Jesus that now we live with him in eternity. Amen. Amen. That's the new covenant that we receive through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Right? That's exactly what we receive now with Jesus. But God never planned for man to die or man to be cursed, women to be cursed. It was all because of disobedience, all because of sin did these things start to usher into this life. Not because our God intended or planned on it to happen. And this is why, again, it is important for us to know who God is so that we don't get this confused. So that when the troubles come and the hard times come, we can say, hey, man, this ain't from God. This evil isn't from God. Then we can place it right in its rightful place. And we can combat it then. Let me tell you something. If you don't know the right battle to fight, how are you going to win that fight? All the good coaches, especially Urban Meyer from Ohio State. Hallelujah. It's a man of God. But he's such a good coach that at halftime, what he'll do is he'll change a game plan completely around to fight the right battle. He'll come out and see, man, this isn't working. But when they come out, it's like a total different team because they went back in the huddle and said, hey, guys, listen, we got to regroup. This is who is fighting us. This is where they're hitting us from this side and this side. Let's start to do different things here and here. That's the same thing, man. If we don't know who we're fighting, how are we going to win? We got to pay attention, right? But God will never do evil. If he did, he would be divided. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, or they will become discouraged. Let me tell you something about the Lord. God is not a do as I say, not as I do. I had an uncle like that. Don't do what I do, just do what I say, boy. You drive me nuts. I'm supposed to follow your lead, man. Your example. But God's not that way. God doesn't tell us to do something and then him do something completely opposite. He does exactly what he tells us to do. He's the example. We follow his lead. And let me tell you something. If God created evil, right, in our lives and created disease, that would be provoking us to anger. That'd be provoking me to anger. And boy, you're talking about discouraged. If my God is sitting there putting these evil things in my life to hurt me, that would be pretty discouraging. Wouldn't want to live for him. I don't want to live for people that hurt me. It's true. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that to us. Let me tell you something about anger, though. Anger can be good. The Bible says this, be angry and sin not. Be angry and sin not. See, if we understand who God is and we know this, that it isn't God sending the evil, it isn't God sending the disease, it isn't God sending the death upon our life, creating this on us. If we can understand that, then when we see it happening, the anger will drive us to our knees. It'll drive me to my knees. When I see people suffering and hurting in this life, it drives me to my knees, and I start crying out to Jesus. I start calling on the one who can do something about it. I start crying on the one that can take that bad situation and make a divine purpose out of it. I start calling on the one that can turn that scar into a monument for them. That's who I start calling upon. It drives me to my knees, and what happens is when I get drove to my knees, I get pulled closer to Jesus. See, when you get pulled closer to Jesus, that anger is not leading you to sin, it's leading you to Jesus. It's leading you to fight against the enemy because we're in a fight for our very lives, for our very existence, for our eternal souls, our families, and everyone we know. This is what we're in a fight of. And it should make us mad when we see the enemy tricking people, messing people up, making them stumble, blaming it on our God. That makes me mad. Makes me mad. Our God's the creator of life, not death. James chapter 1, verse 12 through 15 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, neither does he tempt any man. Scripture. God doesn't tempt us with evil. He doesn't tempt us with evil. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. Let me tell you something. Man, it would be tempting us with evil if he sit there and put a disease on our life. That's evil. God doesn't do that. God does not do that. God does not do that. But look, let's jump up here real quick. Back up to verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. He'll receive the crown of life. See, there is evil in the world because we're in a war. If there was no evil, James would not address it. But he's saying, make sure you know where the evil is coming from and stand fast because God is right beside you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is standing right there with you, but it isn't God the one sending it your way, the evil. That's what he says. That's what he says. Matter of fact, look what he goes on to say. He goes on to say in verse 16, 17 and 18. He says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Every good gift, then he goes a little farther, and every perfect gift is from above. From above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Simply meaning this, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And every single gift that he puts in your life is good. Every gift, and it's perfect. It's perfect. This is scripture. Of his own will. It's like he's proving it now. It's like James, he's trying to prove it. He says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. He said, even though there's evil and there's all this bad happening in this earth, remember, God did not send it. He said, remember that, but stand fast, remain strong during it, because God's standing there right with you. And by the way, this is why. He sent his son to die for you, to pull you through it, to make sure, to reassure, to basically give you a sure thing. How many like sure things? I like sure things. I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I'd like a sure thing. Right? I like a sure thing. A sure thing is living for Jesus. And that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is how much he loves you and me. He wants us to be the first. He wants us to be the first of all. Anything created. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus says this. Karen, if you come play. I'm going to start to close. Luke chapter 11, Jesus says this. He says, if you who are evil, we know this scripture, right, this text, most of us. If you who are evil know how to give your children good gifts. In other words, us, right, our intent. Normally, you don't ever have to teach somebody to be evil. You got to teach them how to be good. It's true. I'm always constantly doing that with my wife. Hallelujah. It's getting a little stuffy in here. I had to loosen it up. A little levity helps every now and then. I am watching it. I lost my place. Oh, Luke chapter 11. Jesus says this, if you who are evil know how to give your children good gifts, how much more does your heavenly Father, who is perfect, know how to only give good gifts? The funny thing is right after that text in chapter 11, Jesus goes into this, a kingdom divided cannot stand. Listen, the literal text, I know what the literal text is. He's talking to the Pharisees, right? He's telling the Pharisees, and they're accusing him of casting Beelzebub out by the power of Beelzebub, right? So he's saying he's casting out demons by the power of demons, and Jesus is saying, no, you can't do that. If Satan did that, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. I understand that, okay? That is the literal text. However, when I was praying, talking to the Lord about this, and I was studying, God showed me that too. He said, not only was I pointing that out, but I was also pointing this fact out, that I will never do nothing outside of who I am, outside of being good and perfect all the time. I'm never outside of that, Keith. Because he's not above his own word. God is word. That's what he is. When he says it, it's real. You can take that thing clear to the bank. It's not like us that we'll just change it up if we don't like it. When God speaks it, it's everlasting. It never changes. And he's always good to us. He's always good to us. Listen, God never brought cancer or anything like that on your life. But he's the one that'll bring you through it. I promise you that. God never put disease on you, but he'll be the one to heal you through it. This is what God does. He brings us through these things because he loves us, because he's good to you. Stand to your feet this morning. We serve such a mighty and good God. God's not the one sending evil on your life. He's only sending good. That's all he sends. And if you are suffering or you're hurting or you're going through things in your life, he'll be the one to bring a divine purpose from it so that we don't have to suffer through it for nothing. God will bring us right through it. Lord, we worship you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you would start to touch hearts in this place. Start to show people your goodness. And Lord, I know how confusing it can be, because life can be so trying. It can be so tough. There's so much hurt, there's so much pain, so much anger in this world, God. And Lord, it can be confusing. So I pray right now, Holy Spirit, for a revelation of your goodness in our lives. I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, give us a revelation of your goodness, of your love for us. Hallelujah. I want to open these altars up. If there's something you're going through in your life, you want prayer for it. Hallelujah. I'll be down. The prayer team will be watching. And I believe this today, that if you come for prayer, God is going to give a new revelation today of his goodness, of his will for your life, his plan for your life. I believe that. I believe that. Because as I was praying about this message, God had showed me that there's several people that are questioning the character of God. And that's okay. It's okay. I'm not, it wasn't like God was rebuking or hurting anything like that. It was simply this, that God was showing that this needed to be explained, of who he is, of how much he loves you. And there's nothing outside of him that isn't good. And that he has good plans for your life, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope in Christ Jesus. And I'm believing this, that if there is any question, if you come up and receive prayer, God is going to do something. The Holy Spirit's going to do something supernatural in your life. Hallelujah. So if you need prayer, we encourage you to come up for prayer while Karen plays, and then I'll get up and close it.